Now, though, we're going to spend a few minutes with our featured guest this evening of our second hour. We're joined by former Attorney General of Australia, of Arizona, first Chief of Staff to John McCain, also Dave, songwriter, also playwright. We're joined on the air now by Grant Woods. Grant, how are you this fine, fine evening?
Hey, I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me on.
Now I've got to ask you, John McCain, you know, provided an enormous amount of service to the country. He was a very big figure. He ran for the presidency.
He
was a lion of the Senate. But it seems over the last couple of months, he's just become a punching bag.
Only to Donald Trump.
Our president, Donald J. Trump.
Pay attention to that.
Now, you knew, Grant, you knew Senator McCain. When you hear these remarks and how they're being dissected in the press, what's your reaction when you read that stuff, when you hear that stuff on the radio stations?
Well, it's pretty strange, Jim, that 7 months after his death that I have to go on CNN and other networks and defend John McCain. I mean, it's really kind of a joke. I think when things are all said and done and history is written, I think John McCain's legacy as an American hero is pretty solid, and I think Donald Trump will be just a very brief bad time in America. That's the way I look at it.
You're making a forecast on 2020 there, I think. Do you want to just say it out loud? What do you think is going to happen in 2020? Can Trump double down and win another 4 years? You seem to be hinting.
Well, can he? I think can he? Yes, just because I think the Democrats are perfectly capable of screwing about anything up, and they've shown that over the years. But you would think we could win this and defeat him. And I think that people, I'm someone who politically has always been in the middle.
Right.
When I was Attorney General of Arizona, I was I'd go back east, and they would think I was like too conservative, and then I come back to my state, and I was like Mao Zedong or something to these people. So that unfortunately, I guess I think that's where most people are, and I think most people are looking for a little bit of common sense right now. And part of that common sense would be to say that we don't glorify dictators and human rights violators. We don't insult and threaten our own enemy, our own allies. We don't threaten alliances that have served us well for decades and decades. Yeah. I don't know. I think I also, though, Tim, I tried to, as far as John McCain, and I was his first chief of staff. He's been a close friend really almost all of my adult life. I took that job when I was 28.
Wow.
And I try to remember it hacks all of us off when Trump keeps doing this. It's just really strange.
It's funny that he likes doing this. Our president really likes going mono a mano with just really anyone.
And 7 months. I mean, that's not much hope.
I think it probably came to his mind when he decided to start thinking about health care again.
That was really
the John McCain moment Donald Trump. Because, other than that...
It was a great moment. That was interesting, though. John was had just had a brain surgery. I was up with him at his cabin that weekend. I spent the weekend up there, and there's a real question whether he would be able to go back to Washington, because less than a week had gone by since the surgery, and he was going to go into Mayo on Monday morning, and we knew what the doctors would say, and they would say you can't go. It's too early. It could kill you to get on a plane in that situation. But I knew full well, because we talked about it. He was going to go no matter what, and he wanted to go back, and he did go back on a Monday, and on Tuesday he gave a speech to the entire Senate, if you recall, and he asked them to, to put the country first and just stop it with the Republicans wanting to get rid of all of the Affordable Care Act with no replacement, and Democrats being shut out of the process. And the point is, we're all Americans here. This is an important issue to people. Why don't we work on it together? And you know, they all clapped and they embraced him, and then they went and did exactly that. So, yeah, he gave it the thumbs down, and I thought that just showed to me he was a hero the day he walked into the Senate, and that was the last time he walked out of the Senate, and he was a hero then as well.
No, I know, and he had a lot of friends. He had a lot of fans out there who clapped him out, who thought that was exactly the way it should go. I will just make this kind of clarifying annotation to what you said, which you recommended that there be a bipartisan conversation about Obamacare. There was not a bipartisan conversation about Obamacare when it was adopted. I mean, that's important to remember. It was a strict party line vote, and you look at all of the other elements of the safety net that have been voted in over the years. Each president has always made an effort to get some of the opposing party online, but when you vote something in on party line basis, it seems that the seeds of a lot of this dissent was sown. I'm going to ask you as a transition question, and I want to talk to what you're doing now. You're not in politics anymore. Is that fair to say that you're pursuing all of these other pursuits outside politics?
Yeah, that's right. I still help people on.
Right.
I have this crazy idea that I've followed over the years, and that is I support whoever I think is the best candidate. And
crazy that talk. Crazy
I know,
talk.
I don't know why. That means I support a lot of, you know, recently it's been mostly Democrats, but, you know, before that there was mostly Republicans, I guess. So, so I stay involved in that way. But, you know, I've been doing it a long time, and obviously I practiced law a long time and was attorney general for quite a while. And I went to school in Los Angeles at Occidental College. And
absolutely.
Yeah, and when I graduated from Oxy, I had to make a decision whether I wanted to have a career as a writer or did I want to be a lawyer. And I kind of took the easy way out and went to law school. And
the easy way out, you went to law school?
Yeah, I think so, because it was a clear path. You know? I mean, you say you want to be a writer. I mean, what does that mean? You know, and, now what? You know, whereas if you want to be a lawyer, you go to law school, you get a law degree. And, you know, then I was a public defender for a few years, and then I met John, and I was his chief of staff, and then ultimately I ran for attorney general and did that, and then I practiced law in the courtrooms for a long time, but I wanted to get back to the writing. And at some point in time, you used to say, if you're going to do this,
you got to do it.
Going, right?
You know? Writer's right. You got to sit writer's there with right. your with your little routine, and
I want 500 words a day.
Yes, not one word more, not one word less. Now I've got to ask you, you're a particular type of writer, which there are various types of writer, but is it possibly the least well compensated type of writer, which would be a playwright?
They're all kind of falling into that category, I have to say. I mean, the songwriting world is very similar these days, you know, the way that's gone. But, yeah, playwriting. I don't think anyone in theater goes into theater because of the money, be it the actors or the directors or the writers. I think you go into it because I think it's just such an exciting medium. And as things have changed, all media has changed dramatically in the last 10, 20 years. The theater, obviously it's got a lot of challenges, and we need to get more people into the theater. We need to get more diverse crowd into the theater, more young people into the theater. But once they go, they find that live theater is a tremendous product. It's a fun, exciting night, and be that a musical or be it a straight play, it's it can be life changing. And I think young people have discovered that with Hamilton and Dear Evan Hansen in the musical world. And I think, you know, I in other words, I think it will survive, but I think we got to keep keep working hard on it. But for me, it's very exciting, and to have a play premiering in Los Angeles. is exciting for me.
And I want to ask you about that. I'll tell you what I tell people, though, about theater. And I guess it's, the things I love about theater is the spelling. You know, you've got that R-E-E. It's just classy.
It makes him feel like he can pronounce French.
Exactly. And the playwright. The playwright. W-R-I-G-H-T.
Yes, it is wrought by the playwright.
You've wrought into existence. I always tell people, you like sports? And they'll say, yeah. Well, do you like live sports? Oh, yeah. Well, do you like music? Yeah. Do you like live music? Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the same with theater.
Do you like musicals? Ooh.
Absolutely.
Live theater, it's just popping. It's just happening. It's just actually, it's occurring right then. Now, can you tell us, please, Grant, the name of your play, a little bit about it, and how our listeners can buy tickets?
Well, I hope they'll come. And, you know, maybe I'll get to see them there. We open next Saturday, April 6th, and we run every weekend through May 12th. And it's called The Things We Do at the Odyssey Theater. And the Odyssey, being an American theater there on the west side, it spells it the British way, T-H-E-A-T-R-E. So it's odysseytheater.com. And The Things We Do is it's a four-person play. We have a wonderful director, Alina DeSantos, who's done just a lifetime of tremendous work, especially in the L.A. area there. Four great actors. And what we're looking at, you guys, is these are all people who are, you know, around 50 years of age, and it's two couples. One of them's children, the two girls, have just gone off to college, so now they have the empty nest. The other two have never had kids, but they've been together for quite a while. And it's hopefully funny, but it's also, you know, it also hits people and is kind of serious as well, because it deals with relationships.
Right. Ooh, relationships. So is it a bit blue? Is it a bit racy?
Now, Tim, come on now.
Well, it is that. Because here's what happens. So two of them get involved in an affair, and those two, and it's, you know, it's pretty wild. And then they come up with a great plan, what they think is a great plan, and that is that, you know what we should do, instead of some messy divorce, why don't we try to get our respective spouses hooked up together, and then we can be the bigger people, and we'll just let them go.
Interesting.
They try to do that, and you can imagine it probably doesn't work.
Hilarity ensues.
Exactly.
Is there a website, Grant, that you can give our audience?
Yeah, odysseytheater.com, and, you know, Odyssey spelled like Odyssey, and theater is the R-E, so odysseytheater.com, The Things We Do, and people show up, maybe even you guys can come on down.
Oh, we'd love to.
Sure.
We'd love to.
I'm
going to
be there a lot, so you just let us know, and you know, we'll take care of you and treat you right.
Fantastic.
So
I think
it starts this Saturday, and it's every weekend, and I do think we did a lot of workshopping of it in the Phoenix area over the last couple of years, and people had a lot of fun, but I'll tell you what, the reactions from the audience were, people were definitely examining their own relationships.
Asking questions.
I never thought of that.
Asking questions. I want to thank you so much, Grant Wood, not only former Attorney General of Arizona, first Chief of Staff to John McCain, an actual playwright. Thank you so much, Grant, for being part of the Bigger Picture.
Thanks for having me on. We'll see you guys at the Odyssey Theater.
Friends and neighbors, we're going to take a short commercial break. We're going to be back in just about 2 minutes' time.